Hi, my name's Tim Phillips, and I'm in a lift at the London School of Economics. I'm on my way up to the 2023 Conference on Structural Transformation, Growth and Economic Development. And in a series of podcasts, I'm going to be interviewing some of the presenters.
Doors closing.
And so, welcome to episode one of Conversations on Transformation, recorded live at the 2023 Conference on Structural Transformation, Growth and Economic Development. As part of the conference, British International Investment staged a provocatively titled policy panel on how research is put into practice. It was called What We Need and What We Get. Adnan Khan, Chief Economist at the UK Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office, also the Director for the Economics and Evaluation Directorate at the UK FCDO, was one of the panellists, and he's someone with a deep knowledge of both research and practice. So I spoke to him afterwards. Adnan, welcome.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. We have a habit of meeting in all kinds of places in the world to talk about very interesting topics.
That's true, isn't it? How was the panel? Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed the panel. I think there were some great people on the panel, some great comments, and great people in the audience who raised all kinds of interesting questions.
You're a very suitable person to talk to about the questions of how we put research into practice. Because you've been on every side of this question, haven't you? You were a bureaucrat before you were an academic. You're still an academic. Now you're working more directly at the policy level. Do those previous experiences help you now?
Yes, they do. I'm not saying that those experiences gave me a special advantage. But yes, they do give me a perspective about the policy perspective, what is needed. Call it the market failures in the world of policy and what role research could play. And then coming from the world of research where I've spent a lot of time, it's also how do we address those market failures? How do we address those through research? One big theme of my life is also to bring these two worlds together, to bring the world of research and the world of policy together to focus on the question that we all face, some of the most important questions of the day on which researchers and policymakers can work together in discovering the real unknowns and also collaborate on how to address those issues through effective interventions.
How do you spend your days now? How does the job of a chief economist at the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office work?
It's a fascinating job. I'm lucky. Every day when I get up, I'm motivated to go to my office because I work on some of the most important questions of the day, questions having to do both with international development, but also questions of foreign policy. And in today's world, both are more and more getting integrated. You think of climate change, you think of conflict, you think of global economic order. Those don't fall very neatly into one or other side of the debate. I also work with wonderful colleagues. It's also great to know that my work also has some resonance with the real world. It helps shape some of the policies that we at the FCDO. And FCDO and its previous incarnations, UK government in general, has been one of the most effective actors. It has been a development superpower, and we aspire to keep on playing that role in the world.
But it has always been controversial and continues to be so, doesn't it? For any government to spend money on development, especially during economic hard times, do you have a lot of pressure to justify how you are spending the department's money?
Yes, there is. And I think of that as a healthy thing. Any government department that spends taxpayers' money should justify why we are spending on basically any priority, but especially priorities that have to do with overseas spending. I think the onus is on us to not only to design programs that achieve the highest value for money, in other words, the most impactful program, but also demonstrate it to the UK citizens and the policy actors here about the value of our work. I think our work does fulfill these criteria, but we definitely can do better, but also tell a better story in terms of convincing people that this is in their interest. So I generally believe that what the work that we are doing is in the enlightened self-interest of UK and our citizens here.
But you find yourself here at a conference on structural transformation. How relevant is structural transformation to the agenda that you have when you're thinking about what is the best value for money, how you should influence policy in development?
It lies at the heart of it. It is central to our agenda. Some of our work is dealing with immediate conflicts, dealing with humanitarian crisis, which is very much needed. But if you look at the world, one of the most pressing issues in the world is dealing with poverty, extreme poverty. This is one of the moral issues of our age also. At a time when we do have the capacity to deal with it, why do we still have poverty, deprivation in many parts of the world? And this is not just addressed through good intentions. We know very well that only governments and policy actors and citizens of a country can lift themselves out of poverty.
Yeah.
Outside actors can help, and that's what we aim to do, helping with the local ownership of these development agenda. And the best way to do is to help them lift themselves out of poverty through a sustained process of economic growth. And we know that that process happens when there is structural transformation in the economy, when the structure of the economy changes from basically reallocation of economic activities from areas of low productivity to high productivity, either within the sector, for instance, like low-value agriculture to high-value agriculture, or across different sectors from agriculture to industry to services. That's the path that every country in the world, including the UK, has taken. That's the path that we want to work with the countries, say, in Africa and other parts of the world. We think it is both our moral responsibility, but also in the interest of people in the UK, it's our enlightened self-interest to help other countries embark on this process. In this country of hyper-connectedness, what happens in one country doesn't stay in that country. It comes back to haunt other parts of the world also, both for positive and negative reasons. So we are committed to it, to this agenda of helping countries grow, helping them embark on a path of sustained growth through structural transformation of their economy is at the heart of it.
But it's very difficult, isn't it? And it takes a long time, a structural transformation, when you compare it to, say, humanitarian aid or a particular policy to change one aspect of the economy in one country. Is the agenda of structural transformation something that you can really influence?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We do work on immediate questions when there are humanitarian interventions or when there are specific interventions to be made, for instance, on girls' education and a few other areas. But ultimately, the impact of our work on development effectiveness will be measured by how much do we contribute to the countries becoming basically independent in terms of their economic growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. And the primary agency for this lies within the countries. We can't force a country to embark on this process. But unless we do this with countries, we have a candid discussion with countries that are not embarking on this path. And for countries that are embarking on this path, to help them through both technical knowledge, but also capacity building, whatever else is needed, not just through bilateral program, but also by shaping an international economic order that promotes, facilitates, enables countries to do this.
How important is the sort of research that we're seeing at this conference to influencing what you decide to do?
Hugely important. We are discussing some of the deepest questions, some of the most structural questions that are important in this area. Very impressed with the quality of the work, with the quality of the research that is being undertaken. However, this alone is not sufficient. Like, I think we need to do more of this. The reason why this is alone is not sufficient has less to do with the research, but has a lot to do with the ecosystem around the research.
Yeah.
Research can be impactful when it is connected to the policy world, and not just in a intertemporal sense. Today we do research and people read it, and 10 years down the line, these issues that we are discussing, poverty, underdevelopment, and growth, are so important and so critical that we want this process of diffusion of policy questions translating into research questions, research informing policy, and not just through new knowledge, but also through stock of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We want this process to happen in real time. And that's why I think what is needed is more of this type of research, but more of this type of research also, which is connected at two ends, connected with policy actors here in UK, other donors, other international actors, in terms of highlighting, identifying why this work is important, how this should shape the programs and intervention that, for instance, FCDO is doing and other actors are doing as well. At the same time, it's hugely critical for this to also inform policy actors in countries, and I also mean the private sector, because they being ultimately responsible for the destiny of their country, they can do a lot to do both things on the positive side, but also on the negative side. So to remove frictions that stand in the way, but also to create a positive enabling environment that enables to do this. And for that, it is important that this doesn't just happen at the end of the cycle. Someone produces a paper and then we talk to them. I call that ex post engagement. Mm. That's valuable, but we also want to see an ex ante and a mid-career kind of engagement also,
uh-huh.
where policy actors and researchers work together or push each other, challenge each other right from the beginning. Are these the right questions? Are these the questions that should be asked? And then maybe chart out an agenda and have a dialogue. In some cases, it may lead to like joint collaboration on certain papers. On others, it will lead to a dialogue and a better understanding from both sides. So all of those are needed, both ex post engagement, but we need a lot of ex ante engagement as well.
If you want to know more about STEG, its funding, its research agenda, or its future events, then visit steg.cepr.org. That's STEG, spelled S-T-E-G, .cepr.org. Now, back to the podcast.
What sort of forum would be the right place for the policy world and the research world to meet together to talk about that ex ante research?
In developed countries, there are many more of these opportunities. Academia, think tanks are normally very well connected with the world of politics. You see people moving in and out. You also see a lot more dialogue that is happening. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen in many low-income countries, even though they need it even more than many other countries. Normally, academia and policy is the Chinese wall between them, which works to the disadvantage of both sides. So we do need to create a better ecosystem. But also, I think there's a key role, not just for academia, think tanks in those countries, but also what I would call intermediary organizations. Organizations that help reduce the transaction cost of policymakers and researchers talking to each other. For instance, just to give you one example of those in transaction cost, in a narrow sense, one could think of why does this process not work as efficiently as it should? And maybe one reason is that the incentives are very misaligned. Policymakers want something yesterday, whereas researchers would typically take years or a long time to come up with an original answer, a credible, robust, rigorous answer to a question. And all kinds of other reasons that we can think of. A policymaker may be interested in a big picture question of how do I make my country grow at high rates of growth? That's not a researchable question. A researcher would come up with a very specific question. But those frictions, those misalignment can easily be overcome, as I have seen in many examples of this in my work also, partly by researchers individually and collectively, the research community committing to longer-term engagement with policy actors, which is not just a one-shot transaction, but a longer-term transaction. And partly because this process is also costly. For this process to work, we also want researchers to give advice, to act as a sounding board at time, to give advice to policy actors, and to do a lot of other things which are not research. But many researchers are interested in doing this because A, this is influencing the real world. B, sometimes it just opens up possibilities for new research as well. But if it was left to individuals alone, the transaction cost for doing this may be too high for many people to bear.
Yeah.
That's why we want to do it through an institutionalized way. And there are many organizations around the world in this country. I think many of them funded by FCDO, to be honest, like whether those are the tax development, the IGC, International Growth Center, many others. And globally, if you see the JPALs of the world, there are many organizations. STEG is one of them, which are aimed at not only extending the frontiers of knowledge, but also doing this process of engagement with policy actors through a more institutionalized way, so that it's not just contingent on one actor or one researcher, but is done through an institution.
Would it be beneficial to researchers to spend more time thinking about or have more direct experience of what the political feasibility of implementing policies would be?
Absolutely, yes. I come from School of Public Policy, where I think thinking of policies, not just at the technical Fest West policies, but also thinking of implementation, political feasibility concerns, comes very central. For economists, I think it is important to think about political feasibility, political constraints. The whole world of political economy is now very well integrated into this agenda. Structural Transformation Economic Growth Program also has a very active political economy group that thinks of these political frictions. So if growth is that important, why does it not happen that often? And yes, one can think of other frictions, but often in many cases, these frictions come from the world of political economy. It may not be in the interest of those who hold political power, the political actors or the elites of the country, to engage in economic reform that may mean them losing political power in the future. And how do we think of elite settlement, political compact, or other arrangement that enable this process of, call it an elite compact, which is growth promoting.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very much on the agenda of STEG, many other programs. I myself have a deep interest in this question.
One of the things that STEG seems to have done particularly well is encourage young researchers to follow a structural transformation research agenda. And some of them are here and some of them are presenting. What advice would you give them at this point in their career?
I think they are doing absolutely the right thing. There's a long history of work in this area, starting from Schumpeter and UK, and let me mention the LSE angle also, Arthur Lewis in the 1950s, 40s and 50s.
The London School of Economics, where you are a professor of economics.
And where also this conference is being held.
Yes.
Sir Arthur Lewis, for his pioneering work, again, which lies at the heart of these questions of structural transformation, was awarded the Nobel Prize, and that work is still relevant. Recently, past 20, 30 years, Philip Aguillon, Howitt, many others, like there's a whole revolution in thinking about these questions about innovation, creative destruction as sources of like economic growth. Now I see a lot more people who are also keen to apply these ideas to the world of developing countries, low-income countries in Africa, Asia, many other places. And it's fascinating and it's inspiring to see these people. My advice to them is this is good research. This is cutting-edge research. This is also critical, vital for one of the most important moral existential questions of the day. But I would also encourage them to work with local academia in whichever countries they work in so that we build not just long-term state capacity, but also research capacity, analytical capacity in those countries. In other words, the message is keep on doing it, keep on doing more cutting-edge and deeper work. Also connect it to local academia and also connect it to policy actors so that the work feeds in a real time to the policy debate and discussion.
Yes, some of the most interesting work, certainly that I've seen over the last year, has been when you've had those local collaborations. They've been able to generate local data that other researchers can use as well. They've created those links with government policy actors at that level and brought in those local researchers to that as well. So when that works together, it's the perfect way in which these policies can make a difference, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. We need not just high-quality research that uncover the deep frictions that prevent those countries, many countries in the world today, from embarking on a path of sustained growth to, in other words, ignite the process of innovation and productivity growth and structural transformation. But we also need a process for doing this, because this is not an event, but a process. A process that needs both capacity in the government, but also analytical capacity, ideally in those countries themselves. Analytical capacity in those countries, which is also connected to some of the best researcher or research institutes in the world, wherever they are.
Finally, Adnan, we're in a situation at the moment where there's a lot of bad news about this climate change, this conflict. The war in Ukraine has had an impact on many low-income countries. A lot of people are fearful for the future. Now, you're one of the people who might be able to make a difference to improve things for the better. For you and for researchers in structural transformation, are you optimistic that you can make a difference?
I am absolutely confident that we can make a difference. Yes, we are in a challenging period, but say the past 30, 40 years, hundreds of billions of people have been lifted out of poverty in different corners of the world. Many states have embarked on this process of structural transformation. When you think of the world of research, the huge world of difference between both the quality of research on the topics that people work in and how connected they are to policy actors today. There are many, many great examples of these type of connections that I'm talking about, accent engagement, close policy engagement. Yes, we need more of that. And maybe I'm an essential like an optimist, but I'm not like denying the nature of the challenges. However, I see far greater realization of those challenges, not just in our country, in all countries in the world, also a desire to shape the international order in a way that helps address these challenges. So whether those are challenges of poverty, climate change, we do see the whole world, major policy actors coming together to address those questions. Yes, more should be done, but I see a positive trajectory, a very inspiring positive trajectory. Generally, I'm optimistic that we are on course. We are making progress.
Your panel was called What We Need and What We Get. You'd be very clear about what we need. I hope that in the rest of the conference, you see more of what you want to get. But for now, Adnan, thank you very much. It's always interesting talking to you.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thank you.
You have been listening to Conversations on Transformation, recorded live at the STEG Annual Conference 2023. STEG stands for Structural Transformation and Economic Growth, and the conference was held in collaboration with the Center for Economic Policy Research and the International Growth Center.